Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is the Final Word World Cup Daily, Day 17, the second part of Day 17. There's only a month to go in the World Cup. Jeff Lemon with you, and Nikesh Raghani, guest hosting the podcast today. The podcast is made for Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. Nikesh, welcome.
Yeah, great to be here. And Day 17, you say, a month to go still. It's a long old World Cup, isn't it?
So we're in, where are we? We're in Chennai, which is hard to keep up with. I'm not going to throw you under the bus, given this is your first one, and make you do the 30-second summary, but I am going to do the 30-second summary myself. England played South Africa and asked them to bat. And you could pretty much end the sentence there, because that's pretty much where the game finished for England. 399 for 7 is what South Africa put on, thanks in large part to a very fast century from Heinrich Klaassen. And Marco Janssen made 75 not out of about 40 balls towards the end. It was set up earlier in the innings by Hendricks, Rassie van der Dussen, and Aidan Markram, and England got nowhere near it. They were about 6 for 70 at one point. They were never a chance, and they ended up suffering their largest ever defeat in one-day internationals by 229 runs. Goodness me, what a day.
What a day, and what a comeback from South Africa, really, losing to the Netherlands. Look, coming into this tournament, they were shit hot, weren't they? Everybody was expecting them to get into the top four, maybe at the expense of a side like England, who, let's face it, I mean, look, with England, I think the problem is their identity, their lack of identity, really. I mean, they spent 5 or 6 years building all this attacking sort of, you know, mindset under Owen Morgan. And in the last sort of 18 months, that just seems to have gone. Maybe it's a change of personnel. There's no Jason Roy at the top of the order. They've got, you know, David Milan, Joe Root, Ben Stokes. Doesn't scream to me as X-factor players in this modern day and age. And given what South Africa did with the bat, I mean, that was explosive.
Well, certainly fast starters. Like, someone like Stokes can do that later in an innings once he's had time to get himself in. But if you're, and we'll deal with the South African innings in a moment, but if you're coming out chasing 400, A, you're never going to make it. It's been chased, what, once in the history of, you know, which is the famous South Africa 438 game. It's not something that teams do, but if you were going to do it, and if you were this England team, the best Owen Roy partnership at the top might be one of the only ways that it could happen. Without him, I thought they probably had to put Jos Buttler up and say, okay, we're going to go about things differently today because we have to get off to the fastest start imaginable. And I know Jason Roy wasn't, you know, had made some low scores and wasn't as fit as he had been with his back problems and all the rest of it. But I reckon just on a vibes basis, he was part of that, like, I will try to hit the first ball of the innings for six kind of mentality. And they don't have that at the moment. They didn't start that way, even chasing 400. Yeah, Bairstow hit a six relatively early on, hit one, and then ends up holding out on the fence. But Milan didn't lay into it from the get-go because that's not his style. And how are you supposed to do it? How are you supposed to chase 400 unless you absolutely get mauling right from the beginning?
You have to, and you're absolutely right. And somebody like a Jason Roy, if he was in this side, you know, that would have maybe given England that impetus. We've seen that Roy-Bairstow partnership on numerous occasions, but you're absolutely right. Jos Buttler had to go and bat at the top of the order, and there were talks about that. Regardless of this match and chasing 400, is that an approach that England need to use? He opens the batting in T20 cricket. albeit, you know, it's a shorter form of the game, so there's less work to do. The maximum he's ever going to face is probably like, what, 60, 70 balls, even if he bats through the innings. This is a different scenario here, but even if he does bat for 70 balls and he gets you 100 off 70, that's exactly the kind of innings you need at the top for everybody else to then come in and bat around. I just think England haven't got their tactics right in terms of the batting order. And once again, poor old David Milan at the top of the order there. He's in great form. He's scoring runs building into this World Cup against New Zealand. And, you know, he's found his place at the top of the order. England fans are delighted. But we're getting to a situation now already where we're thinking, how the hell do we drop this guy? How can we get him out the side and get a more explosive player in? And that was the case in T20 internationals. And it seems like the case here in ODIs. He's sort of almost taking a spot which he's earned. But is he the right man long term to have at the top of the order?
Yeah, and they don't have an explosive player to come in unless you look at the all-rounders who they left out. So this was interesting. So South Africa, Themba Bavuma was ill apparently shortly before this game. So they brought Reeza Hendricks in for him at the top of the order, who goes on to make 85. Important contribution. And South Africa, the criticism of them is that they only bat down to Jansen at 7 and he's batting too high at 7 and they don't have anyone after that. England went in with a similar setup today because they wanted to get Ben Stokes back into the team, but they weren't willing to drop Harry Brook, who's supposed to be the cover player, the floating batting cover, but they didn't want to leave him out. So they end up with David Willey at 7. So they leave out Curran, Wokes, Livingston, and they bring in Gus Atkinson for pace, David Willey, swing bowler, and Stokes, who can't bowl. So that means Willey's batting at 7, which is at least one spot too high, if not two. I mean, he can bat and he's done things with the bat before, but you're going back quite a few years really since he was a genuine option. He used to bat 3 in the T20 side occasionally, didn't he? So there was that sort of swinging, long hitting kind of aspect to his all-round package as well. But with him coming in at 7, everything needs to be done by the top 6, and it seems like in trying to get Stokes into the team, they've actually compromised the strength of that team.
Yeah, because you saw Joe Root today bowling into his 7th over, 6.1 overs in the end. He was making up some of Rhys Topley when he went off the field. But then Mark Wood took a lot of tap today as well. So there's that real lack of sort of genuine 6 bowling option. And you see that with sides across this World Cup. It's crucial to have that. I mean, look, India, just to go off point a touch, Hardik Pandya might not play the next match. They're struggling now because they're probably going to have to go in with 5 bowlers against New Zealand, and that could be a real problem. It's the same here for England as well, because somebody gets injured on the field, somebody's leaking a lot of runs, you need that other bowler to come in and do a job for you. And look, Joe Root can turn his arm over, but you know, unless you get a ragging pitch in Chennai, then he's probably not going to be that useful bowling more than a couple of overs, because once he's bowled a couple, batters will line him up like they did today.
And they had that injury problem with Rhys Topley, who is obviously cursed. Like, he was born under the wrong sign. There was a dark star in the sky the day that he appeared in the world. Something, you know, keeps happening to him.
We are in the land of Vedic astrology, aren't we, in India? So you're absolutely right. I mean, maybe he needs to get his chart seen while he's over here.
Okay. So there's something in that, because he tries to stop a ball that's going back past him. I'll say he started well. First ball goes for 4. Second ball, he gets Quinton de Kock caught behind. His first 3 overs are tidy. And then he's bowling his 4th, and he gets this ball that clips his finger and damages the tip of his bowling finger on his left hand. And he's unhappy, and he bowls 2 more balls. They both get smashed for 4, and then he says, I'm off. And he goes off with 1 ball remaining in the over. Root has to bowl that. Topley doesn't come back for about 20 overs. In the meantime, Root ends up bowling quite a bit. And pretty much as soon as he goes, literally as soon as he goes off, South Africa starts smashing the bowling round. So they only scored 18 from the first 6 overs. And then they just lay into it. David Willey gets hit for 4 boundaries in 7 balls after that point. And so Rassie van der Dussen and Reeza Hendricks are up and running. And they put on 121 in just under 20 overs, so you know, basically 6 and over. They're not absolutely flying, but they're putting on runs at a decent rate. And then there's a smart bit of captaincy from Butler at one point. So Atkinson bowls two overs and then and frugal overs, and then he says, okay, I want double spin, and he brings Root on with Rashid, and Adil Rashid picks up first Van der Dussen top edge to mid wicket, and then Reece Hendricks about six overs later after he's bashed Joe Root for a couple of sixes. But you're like, at that point, you're sort of thinking, well, maybe they can get back into the game here, because what, they're halfway through the innings, but it's not. A huge pile hasn't been set up yet, and there's a possible route into the game, but that doesn't happen because Aidan Markram shuts the door on them, and then Heinrich Klaassen, well, he's, once Markram gets out for 42, Klaassen says, okay, time to go. David Miller gets out shortly after that, and they're about 240 odd in the 37th over at that point. You're thinking, well, they could, England could keep them to 310, 320. Nah, 400.
Absolutely. And, you know, the way that he came out and batted, I mean, look, it's 109 from just 67 balls. Some of those shots down the ground, you know, reverse sweep came out as well. The pull shots, the hook shots, the sort of launching it over extra cover as well. I mean, it was a real 360 innings. You look at the pie chart of his innings and it was absolutely fantastic and brutal hitting as well. I mean, some of those shots down the ground going into the second tier of the Wankhede Stadium. Yeah, it's not the biggest stadium in the world, but bloody hell, it's still some hit. He was aiming for Marine Drive, I think, over the top of that stand at one point as well. And then for Marco Janssen to come in as well and just really nail the final nail in that England coffin as well. I mean, what an innings that was. 75 not out from just 42 balls, six sixes in that. And some of those shots down the ground as well, even better than Klaassen. Mm. And this from a guy who people weren't really sure about how useful he's going to be. People say, yes, he can bat, but is he batting a little bit too high in the order? Well, he's proved all the doubters wrong. And yeah, it was a brilliant pitch at the Wankhede, and it's probably second only to maybe the Chinnaswamy in terms of being a batting paradise here in India. But still, you've got to go out there and do the business, and he certainly did.
We did that today. So yeah, it was 243 for five in the 37th, and then they bring up the 300 in the 44th over. Klaassen just baseballs Reece Topley in that over, who has come back on the field by this point and is bowling again. Got through nine overs eventually. Three fours and a six in that over. Brings up his 100 with this sort of baseball smack. Mark Wood bowls him. Like, yeah, it's a full toss, but it's a low full toss at 149 k's an hour. And he just whacks it back over Mark Wood's head for six. And then it pulls four to bring up the 100. Extraordinary. Gus Atkinson does decently in the circumstances, restricts the damage to his own personal figures. And he gets Klaassen out in the final over, bowls him behind his legs, walking across, trying to lap the ball, sort of flick it over his shoulder, and picks up another wicket in that final over as well. But yeah, Janssen 75 not out. 399 they make. The chase is 400. It's pretty much never going to happen. And then what are they? 24 for three in the sixth over. So they actually had more runs than South Africa did after six overs of the chase. But Root's been caught at leg slip. So Bairstow's been caught on the fence. Good catch by Van der Dussen with not much room to work with. And then, yeah, Root's been flicked one away to sort of short fine leg. And then Milan has edged one, not gloved one, but edged one off the bat down the leg side, and just stood his ground. It was given not out. Kumar Damasena had a bad game umpiring, made a few wrong decisions, but it wasn't given. And then Milan just stood there like he was thinking DRS once they'd reviewed it. I mean, you're probably going to get caught, buddy. Like, they probably know what's going on at that point.
That was a long way from the pad as well at that stage. But it was interesting, Kumar Damasena's his reaction initially. He was almost shouting, not out, not out. This cannot be out. There is no way on earth that he has edged that. And obviously the replay showed that he did edge it. And it was a pretty big deflection in the end. Down the leg side, so good review from South Africa there. But you know, Marco Janssen, what a day. I mean, he's sort of squeezed two batters down the leg side for his two wickets. He's come out, he's got 75 not out towards the end there. I mean, the man can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm. We've seen some left-arm bowlers with some horrible reviews in the last few games, and he wanted one early on that was hitting Bairstow outside the line of leg stump. I think he didn't get his review though, so unlike Shaheen Shafridi with his, I don't know, 11-inch lateral movement inside edge early on, in the game against Australia. So look, Stokes after that is caught and bowled by Rabada for 5. Butler and Brook hit a couple of boundaries and a 6 apiece, and then Butler's caught behind of Kurtzier for 15. Brook LBW to him in the same over. So just this perfect day for South Africa. Everybody gets into the game. You know, Gerald Kurtzier, they want him as the young fast bowler to be in the mix as well. He's playing in place of Shamsi, so they're going with just the one spinner in Maharaj, who takes the last wicket to fall. So David Willey and Adil Rashid hit some catches up in the air, and then there's a bit of fun at the end for Gus Atkinson, 35, hits 7 fours, doesn't hit a 6. Mark Wood hits 5 sixes in his innings, just tries to put everything over the fence, 43 from 17 balls, Trent Bridge style, Headingley rather. 5 sixes. They put on 70 runs in 5.5 overs, that pair. And, you know, if everybody else had done similarly, then there might have been a chance of running down the total. But then Atkinson is bowled by Maharaj. They're all out 9 down. They don't send Topley out to bat because he's got that damaged finger and there's no point. But it was a flogging of a type that you rarely see. And England have never been beaten by runs by such a big margin.
They haven't, but do you know what? What is so funny? I mean, we talk about England as this great ODI side, and look, they're the current world champions.
They were.
And they were in that build-up, those 4 years from 2015 to 2019. They were outstanding, and they still are to an extent in T20 cricket because it's a slightly different game, and you can bring in your Sam Currans and people like that who can do a really good job for you. Butler bats at the top of the order. It's a kind of different dynamic. In terms of ODI cricket, apart from those 4 years, and apart from that one World Cup in 2019, they've basically been shit in every World Cup since 1992, haven't they? 96, 99, 03, you know, going out to India there, 07, didn't do anything. And then you just roll through the years, 2011, the last time they were here, 2015 down in Oz, you know, obviously going out to Bangladesh, that was the low point. Is this another low point similar to that, because they've lost to Afghanistan now? They've played 4 games, they've lost 3 of them. These are the current world champions that you're talking about, and you look down that lineup and there are one or two individuals who might strike fear into you, but as a unit, particularly as a bowling unit, I feel, but even with the batting, which has been so feared for so many years now, you know, teams look at that and think, well, you know, we've got enough to get past England.
And in 2019, like, the bowling seemed so set. The plan was sure. You had Wokes and you had Archer. You had Wood to come in behind them. All 3 of them were bowling well. You had Rashid bowling well through the middle, and you had Liam Plunkett, who was your middle over specialist, doing that job. At the moment, it feels that like a bit part bowling attack to me. You've got Atkinson, who's barely played one day cricket, coming in because Wokes is out of form. You've got Topley, who's played very little cricket over the years because he's always injured. You know, how do you even know if he's actually up to it at this level, really, because his track record at the top level is pretty thin. And then Rashid is 4 years older than 2019 and sometimes doesn't have the same zip and dip, although did, you know, give them their only kind of chance into the game today. It just feels like a bowling attack that is being put together out of what they've got lying around, rather than something with a real... In 2019, there was a really concerted plan, I suppose. And then a word for South Africa, in that they lost to the Dutch. They couldn't chase 243 against Netherlands, and then they come out and steamroll 399 against this bowling attack, which still has quality players in it. You know, you don't bash Mark Wood for 70 in his spell unless you've got some players who can play.
Absolutely. And look, the Dutch, that was their day out, and that was fantastic. But the one thing a lot of people are talking about in this Cricket World Cup as well is the lack of close matches. And look, we would have loved England to get off to a brilliant start, maybe post 350, something like that, you know, at least be in the game for a long period of time. It didn't happen. But when you rewind back to the Dutch game, it's great to see results like that. I mean, it has been a great World Cup in terms of shock results. In that regard, Afghanistan beating England, although, you know, some people might say after this, it's not as much of a shock. You know, the Dutch beating South Africa and this South Africa side, which I think, yeah, that was a poor day at the office for them. But they are looking strong. All the bases are covered. I mean, you compare England, we were talking about there, where, you know, the bowling attack is a bit disjointed. South Africa seemed to have every single box ticked. And even at the last moment when Bavuma has to miss out, no problem. Mm. We'll just bring someone else in. He'll do a job.
He'll make 85. Yeah. You know, exactly. May have made them a stronger team on the day. Their only weak point is if the opposition's wearing orange. So if India go full saffron with the jerseys when they meet.
Do they have an orange kit in this World Cup? They did in 2019, didn't they?
I haven't seen one, but it doesn't mean that they couldn't get one together if they meet in the final, for instance.
They do have an orange training kit. Yeah. So they could just wear that.
All right, it's time for the Final Word Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, where we pick our most final word moments for the day. It's brought to you by Westfield London, Westfield Stratford City. The World Cup has given us plenty of memorable moments over the years, but if you want to create your own memorable moments this festive season, there's no better place than the ice rink at Westfield London. Whether you're ready to carve up the ice like Lance Klusner carving Damien Fleming through Backward Point, or you're worried you'll slip and fall on your Chaminda Vass, ice skating is the perfect day or night out with friends and family. Tickets starting from £11 for kids, £15 for adults. Just Google Westfield ice skating. You'll figure it out. You can get tickets from there. Hall of Fame. I liked Joss Butler's post-match interview where he said, tonight didn't quite go to plan, was his quote. They just got away from us there at the end.
Just got away from us by 229 runs. Yeah. I mean, it was so close. It was agonizing. We were nearly there.
Our fingertips nearly snagged the back of their shirts and they just slipped our grasp.
Oh, dear. I mean, I think that's just silly. And you should be more honest when you're giving interviews like that. You've just been hammered. You've got to say, look, it wasn't good enough. We need to go back and work on a few things. And you know, no, don't throw anybody under the bus as such. But it was quite funny to watch just those bog standard answers, wasn't it? In terms of me, look, Aidan Markram towards the end there, that partnership between Mark Wood Gus Atkinson, of course. You know, they were going strong, put on 70 in double quick time. And then Mark Wood, in the midst of hitting all these sixes, gets dropped. And the reaction from Markram is if the World Cup has just been dropped. I mean, they were going to win that game so easily. It was a matter of, is it going to be 200 runs, 250 runs? It was somewhere in between in the end. I mean, I kind of felt his pain, actually, because I was watching that as well. And although it was really exciting and I love to see big hitting, I mean, the game was done. It's like, look, let's just get this over and done with. I've got to go and get some dinner. I was starving at that point as well, actually. But I wanted to finish watching the game so I could know exactly what to talk about here. And it kind of just delayed that whole process for me as well. So I feel your pain, Aidan Markram. That was the moment for me.
I enjoyed also that Mark Wood didn't look happy about hitting the sixes either. You know, normally he looks like he's having a ball when he's batting, but he was whacking them over the fence and just being like, glum-faced. You never see glum-faced Mark Wood. But so nobody was happy out there, even when things were going well for them. Aaron Finch had a beautiful line, and I don't think this was set up ahead of time. They showed some footage of Michael Atherton carrying the World Cup trophy out before the game. You know how they have someone come out and put it on a plinth? It's like a symbolic thing. So Atherton carries it out. They show this clip and someone else says something about it and Atherton says, yeah, it's surprisingly heavy, is it, that trophy? It's a lot heavier than it looked. And Aaron Finch goes, yeah, it was pretty heavy carrying it around the MCG on the lap of honour.
That's brilliant. That's very good from Finchy. I have a bit of a problem. Atherton is a lovely fella. Yeah. But he's never won the World Cup. No. Should he be allowed to touch it? And not just him, but even the likes of us journalists. You know, sometimes they have it on show when you're covering a World Cup final and you sometimes have to put the gloves on and you can take a picture while touching it.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
I think he was a bit sheepish about it as well, because he very quickly wanted to move off talking about it after that clip came up.
Wasn't doing the Sachin Tendulkar where he puts it down, gives it the big wave around the whole of the Narendra Modi Stadium as it was then.
He didn't want it to come up, I don't think. Maybe it's like at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you touch the World Cup when you haven't won it, you immediately melt and get like consumed in a pillar of fire.
I mean, it's worth trying to avoid that if you can. But no, I love that line from Aaron Finch though.
It was very sharp. And my last bit is, so Rhys Topley, after he damaged his finger, came back with his two fingers on his left hand taped together, the index and the middle finger were taped together, and bowled like that, which normally is not allowed, right? You see umpires make players take even medical protective tape off their fingers because it can help you spin the ball or grip the ball. There is a provision that says that umpires are allowed to permit it at their discretion. And so they decided, given that the injury had happened in the game, he would be allowed to do it, which is interesting. You know, Mitchell Starc bowled for months with a busted finger at the start of this year, where his finger was always bleeding and broke, and he'd have to take the bandages off and he'd be rubbing blood all over his pants and all over the ball and all the rest of it because they wouldn't let him keep a bandage on, which doesn't help a fast bowler. It might help a spinner. But yeah, they made the sensible decision today, but they rarely make that sensible decision.
I mean, look, 8.5 overs, conceded 88 runs. I mean, he wasn't getting any advantage from that at all. So the umpires probably thought, well, if you want to do it, you do it. It's not going to help you in any way.
Yeah, well, nothing much helped England today. They're in all sorts of trouble. They've lost three and they've been obliterated. So they have a hard road to face. What's the game tomorrow?
India, New Zealand.
That's right. That's another massive one. Some of the games get bigger and bigger. And England, I can't remember who they're playing next. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. Sometimes you forget to do things. Let's be honest. Let's be real with one another. You can find out who they're playing because you're on the internet watching this show. So let's have a little bit of shared effort. I think that's it from us. This has been The Final Word Daily. Thanks, Nikesh, for joining the show. If you like what we're doing, patreon.com/thefinalword. We'll see you on day 18, which will be tomorrow. Protected, brother, I ain't fenced in. If my future questions my current senses, that'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.